Bulletin. I better get me a sandwich. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me. It's been quite a while, and we're glad to be back here with you. I don't have any calling cards, but if you young people want to go to San Diego State University, we have the highest energy cost in the nation. We without rain in last year for 119 days in a row. And so it gets pretty hot. You're more than welcome. But the brethren there say hello, and they love the Lord, and they're dedicated to the gospel, and that's what I'm thankful for. And they say hello to you, and the Lord's working there. Not the way I would have it or think it, or anybody else would have it or think it, but He is fulfilling His will and comforting His people and saving His people as He sees fit. What a privilege that is. And I think I'll just get up here for the next 30 minutes and agree with everything Eric said. That's for me. Thank you. God spoke to me through you. And I've had some very strange looks. People say, how's it going out there? I said, God's proven His word to me. Don't you believe His word? Oh, I believe Him. I believe what He says, but He's going to prove me that I believe Him. And prove His word to me. And I said, you know what? I don't think He's lying. God said so. You think He's lying? We know He ain't, but we're going to understand. Yeah, it's like that hypothermia fellow sent to teach these Coast Guard guys hypothermia. And they come out there, there's a big pool of ice. And I said, what are you doing? They said, you're supposed to teach them hypothermia. And he got out shaking. He said, here in about 2 minutes, they're going to know. He's going to prove it to us. He's going to know. If you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I never know who I'm going to be preaching to. That's a good thing. But I just want to have one verse tonight, and I hope to be short. And in my notes it says, I hope to be short, arrow Eric. That means I want to hear what Eric has to say. I can go as long as I want to now. Why are we here? Why are we here for this conference weekend? Why am I here? I'm not asking you, I'm asking me. Why am I here? Am I here so I can see everybody? I want to see you. I can go see some friends, see what my old house looks like. That'd be fun. I want to eat some food and hang out and tell some stories. That's good, isn't it? But I need to remember, I hope you can, we've come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. So, forget about yourself. I wish I could forget about me, what I've got going on, what heartaches I've gone through, and what joys I'm going through. I can forget about myself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. That's what I hope we can do. I hope to have three messages for you this weekend. Everything Eric said. We'll look tonight here in Matthew 1. At the work of salvation. The work of salvation. What is this salvation? People use that word. They throw it around all over. And God and Jesus and saved and heaven and glory. What some things mean? The work of salvation. And maybe Psalm 23. This person that saves. Jehovah, the self-existent one and all His names. What He does, how He comes to His people in totality. If He's with us, He is here totally. You understand that? No, you ain't going to it. I ain't going to see it. And not totally. He is. Where He is, He's there in totality. And hopefully Sunday we'll look at the benefits of this salvation by Almighty God. What it is for Him to be our shield and our exceeding great reward. I wrote an article. It's what made me look here in Matthew chapter 1. And I did a horrible job writing that article. Because it wasn't an article. It was a message. And I was trying to make it this big. I can't do that. But I'll tell you about what that article was here in a little bit. Towards the end. Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, before they consummated the wedding, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example. How good he was. He was just. This is what God's word says. We're going to glorify God. Look what the Lord did with it. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Let's just get this out of here. Nobody needs to know about this. Sin has occurred here. And we'll walk in piously and in backwards and cover up her sin and get her out of town. Boot her down the road. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For, because, here's eight words, he shall save his people from their sins. The angel of the Lord came to Joseph, and what appeared to be a good act, what appeared to be law keeping, and gave him something totally different. And he said, fear not. You know why we get mad? Let me tell you what the source of anger is. It's pride and fear. You mix them two up real good. If I'm getting real mad, that's just me posturing until I figure out what's going on. I'm just going to keep being mad until I know what's happening. It's fear, isn't it? And the angel came to him and said, fear not. She's going to have a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The gospel came to Joseph. The gospel was preached to Joseph. Well, if I had eight words for you. He shall save his people from their sins. Let's pray, sing a song. We're going to go home. That's all he told him. That's all he needed to hear, wouldn't it? What's this mean? I want to stand just on this one verse tonight. He. That's where it begins. Tomorrow morning we'll look at this more if the Lord allows. But this is where salvation begins. This is where life begins. He. In the beginning, God. Where's salvation start? With God. He purposed it. Where's salvation going to get kindled in my heart? God purposed it. He's going to do it. Where's this payment for salvation going to come from? God is going to shed his blood. How am I going to find out about it? God's going to come to his child. Speak to their heart. That's where it's going to begin. Well, No, not you. He. How's somebody going to get to heaven? Well, I. No. Well, now, he saved me, but I. No. He. That's where it all begins. He. This is a message from the Lord. This is where peace comes from. When that angel said, fear not, peace is from the Lord. People won't have peace in this world. You ain't going to have peace in this world unless you're looking to Christ. Peace won't be found. You can buy a brand new Porsche, and it's going to be a day old tomorrow, won't it? Rust is going to set in. Sun's going to work on it. It's going to fade. It's going to be gone. But a message from the Lord, that's good news. When he comes to his people and speaks comfort, he comes to his people and speaks peace. Fear not. There's nothing to be afraid of. This began with him, didn't it? And this gospel, this is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what Paul told us in Romans 1:3. Do they preach the gospel down there? I don't know. Do they preach Christ? He's the gospel. He's the good news. It started with him. It's going to end with him. He's the author and finisher, isn't he? Who's this gospel about? It's Christ. He, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. That's his office. Do you know that? It's not just his name. Call his name Jesus. He's the Christ. That's his office. And he's our Lord. I thought that was interesting. Brother David Pledger preached a message on that. An elder, a bishop, and a pastor. That's all the same person, filled by the same person. But the elder is the person. That's the man. Christ is our elder brother, isn't he? Anything we do typifies him. Ain't nothing in men. But it shows him. It's a picture of him. That's who we're looking for. He's our elder brother. He's the bishop of our souls. That's his office. It's what he performs. And he's the pastor. He's the chief shepherd. He's the Lord. He rules and reigns all things. He gives the feed. He makes the rains come. He makes the grass grow. He does all things. He's the man. Christ Jesus is the man. Christ is his office and the Lord is his work. He's the anointed one. And what's this one that's speaking of? He shall save. Shall save. The Lord's prophets throughout the Old Testament declared something. The Lord's apostles, whenever he walked this earth and in the apostolic era, they had one message to have, to say. And his preachers in this day, they have one thing to declare, not to debate, not to have an open forum about, not to, let's sit down and talk about this. Let's see what we, they stand on their hind two legs and they declare a saving God. He, God Almighty, shall save. Shall save. That's a saving substitute. That's a successful mediator. That's what he's going to do. He shall save. A mediator is a go-between. They intercede between two parties. Who are these two parties? That's the Almighty, Holy God of heaven and earth and us who've offended him. We've sinned against a holy God. Boy, that sounds like tax code to most people. If I go out and slap somebody around and shake them and get a funnel and put it down their throat and pour it into them, we've sinned against the holy God. All of a sudden, you're the only one in the room. I love my wife. I love my children. But if I know I've sinned against God, boy, that's one-on-one. We need a mediator. This holy ruler of heaven and earth and the sinners that sinned against him. Christ is the only mediation a sinner can ever have with the Father. Paul told us that. He said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's it. And we need that. We need saved. We need salvation. We need mediation. You can't do it by yourself. I got a good handle on this. No, you don't. Brother Eric said, I cried for, we'll get to that in a minute. I cried for mercy yesterday. Well, yesterday's gone. I need mercy today. Well, what about tomorrow, Kevin? Well, I don't know. I ain't promised tomorrow. Right now. The Almighty God that sent this gospel message, this good news, he didn't just simply make salvation possible. He's a God that saves. He shall save. That angel declared this to Joseph. He said, he shall save. The message of mankind. All over this world. It's not just in this county. It's not just in this state. Not just in this nation. Worldwide is the Father loves everyone. Christ died for everybody. And the Holy Ghost is just pretty well pleased and going to come and beg you, if you'd let him, save somebody. That's not so. That's a lie. That's not what saving means. I wrote a poor article, but I think I got a message. My oldest son, many of you remember him, Jared, he got a job as a lifeguard at a water park there in San Diego County. And he went through all of his training. He did CPR classes, did first aid classes. He did a swim test. He had to make sure he swam real far and could tread water long enough. I said, can you swim? He said, what stroke you want me to do? He'd been swimming his whole life. I said, I think you're going to pass. But he went through all this training, became a certified lifeguard. And as we're concerned in the vocabulary mankind has, he's now able to save somebody. Now, the company's policy is, if a person is in distress, they're struggling, they're drowning, you have to ask them permission to be saved. You need some help? If I was going to get clickbait, I'd title this, I don't want an Arminian lifeguard. Can I help you? And if they say no, you can't touch them. I'm going to make it. If they're a small child and they're struggling, they're showing signs of distress that they're going to die, you have to ask the parents. Mom and Daddy, can I save your child? I'm certified. I'm able to do so. Will you let me? Will you allow me to save your child? And people say no. This has happened. Not to him, thankfully. I established an LLC real quick. He went sued. That hasn't happened yet, but that's happened at that place before. People say no. But If that person's unconscious, if they're dead, if they're unable, if they can't hear, they have no knowledge, they can't speak, they can't do anything, they're deaf, they're dumb, they're lame, they're halt, unconscious, graveyard dead, floating in the water. Now you can go and save them. Once they stop fighting and try to save themselves, once they stop struggling, once they stop kicking, now go in. Now you can go and save them. Almighty God shall save His people. He shall save. You want to do it yourself? Keep kicking, little buddy. Let me know how deep that pool is. See how long you can hold your breath. It ain't going to work out. Not in these waters of justice. We're swimming in a pool with our own sin. We drink sin like it's water, iniquity like it's water, and we're in the waters of wrath of Almighty God. You ain't going to survive. Stop fighting. Lay down your shotguns and bow to Him. Call out to Him. The Father did not purpose everyone to be loved before He chose a people. Christ did not die for everyone to be offered salvation. He died for a particular people. And the Holy Spirit does not wish, it does not want, none of them do. He's God also, and His grace that He comes speaking is irresistible. People say that ain't fair. You'll thank Him if He comes to you. You wouldn't have it any other way. Man, I know, was preaching one time. He was trying to say the efficacy of Christ's blood, but he said the efficiency of Christ's blood. And I said, no, that's right. It gets the job done. There's efficacy in the blood, but it's efficient. Ain't a drop wasted. And there ain't a drop that's needed that ain't there. It's exactly right. Verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation is not universal. God does not love everyone. People say, you're lying. Ask Esau. Go ask Pharaoh. Go ask all those nations, the Hittites and the Perizzites, that the Lord said, I gave nations for you. Because He loved a particular people. A particular people. Nowhere in this book does He even suggest that God loves everyone, that He's trying to save anybody. And folks will say, what about John 3:16? Do you understand the context of that? That is beautiful. This member of the Sanhedrin came to tell the Lord what he knew. I wouldn't suggest instructing him or those after his own heart. You going to improve on it? Came to tell what he knew. And the Lord said, you must be born again. Said, what are you talking about? Am I going to go in my mother's womb again? He said, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit of God. The Word and the water. God's going to have to do it. It's going to have to begin with Him. He's going to have to shall save you. And they said, how can this be? The Lord said, just like that serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be raised up. That's how it's going to be, Nicodemus. And He said, for God so loved the world. Now you can think of what He's saying. Here's one of the 70. Oh, that's highfalutin. He got a haircut for every service. He's ready to go. Prettiest robes you ever seen. You couldn't touch Him on the outside. He walked a holy life. And He said, God so loved the Gentiles, He gave His only begotten Son. You want to be a member of this kingdom, be born again? You're going to be a Gentile, Nicodemus. Give up all that nonsense you're holding on to. Christ's high priestly prayer in John 17, He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, not the whole world, not everybody that's ever lived throughout creation, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. And I'm glorified in them. Those that are His, those that He shall save, they're going to glorify Christ and Him alone. That's who Christ prayed for. And that's who He died for, His people. He shall save His people. That's whosoever. How do I know who His people are? I don't. I have no idea. So like you read there in Luke 14, that parable of the Great Supper, my job, Clay's job, Eric's job, come. Supper's ready. All things are done. Everything's ready now. There's no work. Don't wash your hands. Don't bring any almonds with you. Don't do nothing. Just come. Who? Those that'll come. He'll make you come. Come on. Come to His supper. That's it. From. He shall save His people from. That's saved from something, isn't it? If you're in a burning building, and you're saved from burning to death, you're saved from a burning building. If you're saved from drowning, someone pulled you out of the water. If God Almighty saved your soul, you're saved from sins. The sin that we are, the sin that we commit, that just flows in and out of us like it's just air and water. Totality, the whole of us. We're saved from ourselves. Plural, sins. Who saves? The Lord does. How certain is it? He shall. Who does he save? Whosoever his people are. What does he save us from? Our sins. Man, natural man has this verse flip-flopped. We say, well, he shall save his people. That's so exclusive. That excludes people. That pushes people away. You're saying he only has his people. And then they says he saves them from their sins. Well, now that includes everybody. That's inclusive. Everybody's been a little bit bad, ain't they? I've done a couple things wrong. I've committed sins, but I've cleaned up a whole lot. I don't sin as much as I used to. Hogwash. Natural man's got that flip-flopped. His people, that includes all, whosoever. The exclusion is, save you from your sins. That is all I am outside of God's grace. Right now. Me standing in this pulpit speaking to you, I've committed enough sin it's on my mind, heart, lips, everything else to send all of us to hell for eternity. And then some. He has to save me from me. Oh, if he make us know that. He came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's a worthy, good phrase, isn't it? Is that accept with all expectation? He came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I tell you, I've told some folks that. The reason I think the Lord made me a preacher is because I'm the least likely to hear his word. I'm the least likely to study. I'm the least likely to pray to him. And he proved his word to me, and he's put me in the dust to make me cry out to him. Maybe I don't sound like I ought to be a preacher. That's how he does it. He's going to prove himself. Does he save us from our sin, singular? That feminine noun of just what we are. Yes, he sure does. But sin's plural. Past, present, and future. That excludes a lot. Well, I used to be a sinner. Well, you're gonna have some problems. You ever heard the Lord's Prayer? Look over in Luke 11. When the Lord taught us how to pray, taught his disciples how to pray here in Luke 11. There in verse 2. The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. John taught his disciples, teach us. In Luke 11, verse 2, it says, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hallowed be thy name. How can we say something like that? How can we say there's a holy God and praise him for who he is? He's going to have saved us. There has to be a new creation in us. We have to be born again to call on a true and living God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says, forgive us our sins. He has saved us, and he is saving us. Boy, I need that today. And Lord, thy kingdom come, and we shall be saved. That saving will be over. We'll be out of the water. We'll be on dry ground. We'll be with him. The waters will be subsided, and we'll be on dry ground just like Jonah was. And we'll be plumb saved, looking him eye to eye because we've been made like him. That's the end state. Over in 2 Corinthians 1, if you want to turn there, if not, I'll turn there quick. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Well, that's 1 Corinthians. That ain't going to do me no good. Hold on. I've got reading glasses since I was here last. Did y'all notice that? I can see this, but I can't see you. So it's a shorter distance there in San Diego. 2 Corinthians. We'll begin in verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We're depraved, dead, graveyard dead sinners, and we must trust in God. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. Oh, he saved us. And doth deliver. Doth deliver. We see him today. We get our daily bread. Lord, give us our daily bread. Does that mean I'm going to have to eat today? Yeah, I can make it till tomorrow. I think I'll be okay without physically eating bread today. But I need Christ today. I need Christ's living bread today. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We shall be made like him. He saved us, he's saving us, and he shall save us. How could that be? There must be two natures inside of somebody. Doesn't that make sense? There's an old man and a new man. Paul talked about that in Romans 7, didn't he? It was so clear. There's a law. I mean, take it to the bank. This is going to happen. There's a war going on inside of me. How are you faring today? I've been to war, and that was way easier than this. That was way easier proving my helmet works and all that stuff and those tactics and what the Lord's word says. That's a lot more violent, it seems, at times. But how am I faring that spiritual warfare today? Well, I'm doing okay. I got four children staying in three different states, and phone ain't ringing off a hook, and I think I have some messages to come preach to people, and I'm doing all right. I'm healthy. Today ain't too bad. There's a war going on. Wait till tomorrow morning. Wait till the rounds come in. My pastor always said when I was young, don't look down on David just because your Bathsheba hadn't showed up yet. Don't look down on those that are hardened in battle. Think different of them, or think you're hardened in battle, because then bullets start flying, you may just start flinching. You may just start diving in the gravel. We have two natures in us. Right now, an old man, it is absolutely at war with God, and a new man's completely at peace with God. There's no condemnation. And those two have to dwell together. That's the most peaceful, most insane person's ever walked this earth. We need our pure minds stirred up. I need to be reminded of who Christ is, what he did, where he is now, what I am in myself, and what I am in him. Both of them. How am I going to have my pure mind stirred up, like Peter talked about? Well, it's going to be here every week and twice on Sunday in Ewing, New Jersey, every Thursday and twice every Sunday morning in Nixon, Missouri, every week. San Diego County, Lexington, Kentucky, Asheville, Kentucky, Crossville, Tennessee, wherever the Lord's people are. Nara, Australia, they're in England, wherever he's put somebody. That's how my pure mind's going to be stored up. I want to go and hear the gospel one more time so I can go out in this evil world and this old man can make it until the next meal comes. Let this mind be in you. Where's sin most greatest on display? It's there at Calvary, isn't it? We can go through and read Matthew 27. Physically, they spit on our Lord. They cursed him. They mocked him. They abused him. That's how all this salvation come to pass. This is where it physically took place, at Calvary. Well, spiritually, did they spit on him and curse him and mock him? You going to stop them? Growing up, I had multiple people say, well, if I was there, I would have stopped them. That's why he come for this hour. Where my sins, what put him there. And while he was there being mocked, being spit on, being ridiculed, he cried out, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he come for. Let this mind be in you. Not one and done, is it? Lord, save me back when I was 16. I got a card to prove it. No. No, he has saved me. He's saving me, and he shall save me. He died once, the just for the unjust. But we take his table, and we do in remembrance of him. We see his broken body one more time. We see his shed blood one more time. He's our daily bread, Christ our Lord. Jared come home and told me and Clay that the other day when he's there at her house about the rules there for the companies. Now we can't. We got to ask them if we could save them. And both of us looked at each other. And said, I don't want no Armenian lifeguard. I don't. I want a believer up there. I don't want one that's going to not take me out of the water unless I let them. I don't want a reformed lifeguard. So when I will get you out of the water, but you got to do CPR by yourself. Better keep your heart beating. I don't want it. I need a Savior that shall save his people from my sins, the sin that I am. And I need him to completely go underneath me in that miry pit of clay and destruction and death and pull me clean out of it, resuscitate me, give me life, give me a born-again spirit after his incorruptible seed, sustain it forever in this life because I'm going to prone to wander. Lord, I feel prone to leave the God I love. That don't mean like, well, I might if a situation arises. If he takes his hand off of me, I'm done. He has to sustain the whole thing, and then that day that I shall be saved and be conformed like him. That's what I need. That's what his people need. The ones he saves. The Lord shall save his people from their sins. Is he lying? Has he proved it? I believe him, buddy. I don't think he's lying to me. Tooth and toenail, completely. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to wake up and say, Lord, I need a message for this morning. What am I going to do? You're going to leave me all by myself? And I'll cry out like a baby. Cries of a child ain't offensive to the parents, are they? The other people on the airplane, they might say, oh, that kid's crying. Oh, just you pull your elbow or shoulder up to your ear. Ooh. But if it's your child, they hear those cries, don't they? Hope that's a blessing to you.